Welcome to the Sensitive Souls Podcast, a communal space where the neurodivergent, the sensitive spirit, and the creative can come together and feel safe, seen, and heard. Whether you are spiritual, into personal development, or just need a friend to talk to, you're in the right space. Grab a cup of tea, a cozy blanket, and let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sensitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Jess Palmer, a she-they fairy humanoid, doing their best to navigate this neurotypical world as a neurodivergent person. And I know that I missed last week's episode. I need a little break, if I'm being honest. Even now, recording, I feel a little bit scatterbrained and unsure of myself, but I've really missed talking with you all and filling you in on life, and I don't know, having this creative outlet's been really important to me. So I do apologize if you can feel more of a somber tone coming from me. Yeah, it's just, I don't even know what to make of the last 3 months, let's say. So much has changed, shifted, revealed itself. And for someone who has anxiety, the fear of the unknown can be so debilitating, and it can arise physically in our bodies through stress and pain and inflammation, and in the mind through ruminating thoughts and obsessions, right? But I don't know, like these last few months have just been so all over the place that it's been hard for me to find my footing. It's like I may feel grounded and settled for a moment, but then just as quickly it's taken away. And I guess if anything, it's taught me to really learn to rely on myself and my self-care, to stand firm in my boundaries and to speak up for myself and for what's right. And also when to go within and take time to just be with myself. And so the last, like I said, few months, but really the last month or so itself has been a whirlwind. But on the bright side, I have returned more to my yoga practice. Over the summertime, I had a back injury, and I still have a lot of issues with my hips and like my pelvis and my lower back. I can't walk a full gait without feeling some type of pain. Sometimes yoga, I'm very, very stiff. But it's times where I'm on my mat that I just feel so much peace and reassurance that I am showing myself love and care even when my downward dog is not as flexible as I'd like it to be, or my stride isn't as strong. But my will is strong, my friends. And if you have had to persevere as well through trials and tribulations, I mean, we all have, right? But some more than others. Then you know as well as I that nothing is permanent. Nothing is forever besides ourselves, right? And so learning to build an inner sanctuary is really important. Learning to rely on yourself as your own confidant and healer and teacher and guide can be really powerful and really soothing during times of stress and uncertainty. And so today I was at class with one of my favorite teachers, and we began with a standing meditation in Tadasana, mountain pose. And this pose has really evolved for me over time. I definitely feel like in the beginning, I'm like, all right, we're just standing here. But in going through my yoga teacher training and deepening my practice in the studio, Tadasana is so much more than just standing, right? It's rooting into the ground, pressing into the four corners of the feet, soft bend in the knee, tilting your chin down just slightly, spreading your fingers wide, and really just breathing and being. And in the visualization and the meditation, my teacher guided us to really feel the rhythmic beat of the earth through our feet, through our breath. And I don't mean to laugh because I mean yoga is such a sacred and beautiful practice, but what came to mind as a memory was the first time that I, or not even the first time, but the first few times I dabbled with mushrooms, magic mushrooms, psilocybin. And one of the first things I noticed was that the earth around me, the trees, the sky, the ground, the flowers, the bushes, the moss, it was all breathing, expanding and contracting. I could see it pulsating. I took mushrooms once, camping with really good friends and a partner at the time, and we decided to do some mushrooms and go on a hike. And for me, mushrooms in nature are ideal, right? Because it comes from the ground, it's a medicine, it's a plant medicine, and to enjoy it with the mother can be so potent. And I took these mushrooms, and if you know me, like if you're someone who's gone hiking with me and is listening to this, you're probably laughing because you know that when I go hiking, I'm grumpy 99% of the time. I'm grumpy and anxious all the way up. I get to the top, I'm happy, I'm living my best life, terrified of heights, so kind of anxious still. And then I'm anxious going all the way down because I'm afraid of slipping and falling. And when I get to the bottom, I feel great because I got to be in nature. I pushed myself out of my comfort zone and I overcame the stresses of the day. Whereas some people are like, la-di-da, hiking's the best, and they're in a great mood, drinking their beers, doing whatever, and I'm just miserable the whole entire way. Like dragging ass. I always like to be in the back. I don't like when people are coming up behind me. It makes me feel like I'm being rushed. But in this instance, I was like running up the mountain. I was having the best time of my life. I'm laughing. I'm sweating. I feel so flexible. Because I don't know about you if you're listening and have had any type of psilocybin. My body feels super good. Even though it's being food poisoned, it's like my limbs feel very flexible, feel very long and stretched out. Even though my stomach feels like shit. But like they really have helped with my pain in the past. And yeah, I had no problem taking huge strides, climbing and climbing and climbing, and I felt unstoppable. And not all of us were tripping. And I don't mean like a whole 3.5 grams of mushrooms. I think this was about a dosing of 1.25 grams, which for me at 5'1" is a really good dose that will get me enough of a trip where I hallucinate enough, but it's not enough to like make me feel sick to my stomach or have a bad tripping and anxious and disassociate and like not feel my body. This type of dosing allows me to still be in my body, sometimes disassociating a little bit, but to really be able to be functional as much as I can while also mildly tripping. And it's like we got to the top. And the top of this mountain, because it was in the White Mountains, you saw so many other peaks. And I'm just sitting and I'm looking and they're all breathing and contracting and expanding, a vibration all of their own, beautiful colors. And I could almost feel the vibrations underneath my hand. So when my teacher today said, feel the rhythmic beat of Mother Earth beneath you. That really resonated. And mushrooms have helped me so much with my mental health, with my spirituality, with my grief healing. Granted, I definitely abused them, as I've shared before on the podcast, with other types of recreational things in my past, but it was a very short stint of that. Primarily now when I use magic mushrooms, it is with great intention. I haven't tripped in a while. Now it's more like a quarter to a half of a, like, half of a milligram or gram. Half of a gram, I should say, for like a microdose for me. I don't really go too much past a half a gram because that's when I start to get more hallucinogenic, and I don't always want to feel that. So if you're looking to microdose, I always think starting with a quarter is like a great way to start. And for me, I feel very euphoric, kind of warm and fuzzy, kind of in my feels if I'm being honest. And that's why sometimes when working with plant medicine, we have to remember that these plants have a vibrational frequency all of their own, even cannabis. And so sometimes the medicine is going to show you things that you may not feel ready to be shown, but trust the process of what the medicine's trying to deliver to you. Because sometimes I've had bad trips where I've, been physically ill or I've cried a lot. But once I've come out of it, I feel like I've undergone a very deep purge. Even with cannabis, sometimes I've overdone it and have had an adverse reaction and had a huge emotional release, and then go to bed and I wake up the next day feeling great. Like sometimes we need to be cracked open. I mean, even thinking about ayahuasca, I've never done ayahuasca, but that whole purging process, like, these plant medicines are meant to dig deep into our mind, bodies, and spirit. So yeah, magic mushrooms. I feel more so now that I'm in a place where if it grows from the ground, I'm not opposed to it. But if it's something that's made in a lab, when it comes to like recreational drugs or what have you, like I'm just not. That's not my jam anymore. Like cannabis will always be my ride or die hoe for sure. And magic mushrooms, like maybe like once or twice a year, 3 times a year, depending if I'm microdosing or not. And yeah, like I just feel that they've allowed me to see the world from a different perspective, really tap into my inner child and childlike nature unapologetically, and really soothe and love that part of myself. Especially my creative side, like mushrooms allowed me to return to the person I was before the conditioning and social programming and relationship trauma and codependent patterns. Like mushrooms allowed me to be a kid again and to really return to that innocent nature within me. And that's within all of us. People who resist mushrooms, I think when we resist certain medicines, it's again, it's because we're afraid of what they're trying to show us. And so when we resist, we create, adverse reactions and anxiety. So if you've ever, dabbled with cannabis or psilocybin and felt some resistance or anxiety, I really just invite you to breathe into that sensation, breathe into your body, get out of the mind, and just allow whatever feeling or sensation that wants to arise, arise. That might be a big sob fest. It could be dancing your heart out. It could be screaming into a pillow, some primal fucking scream, Yeah, I don't know why I wanted to talk about magic mushrooms today, but it's just something that's very near and dear to my heart. And I think there's a lot of misconception out there that you always have to eat an eighth and have this big whole trip to have some profound healing experience. And as studies have shown and recent, like recent sharings of microdosing have come about. Like microdosing's been a thing for a long time, but it's become really popular. And it's because psilocybin can help to repair your 5-HTP receptors in your brain, which can help with your serotonin production. I think there are some studies shown that it can also help with your dopamine receptors, but I know for sure that it does impact your 5-HTP receptors. If I'm wrong, don't come for me, but come for me and let me know on Instagram at Just the Last Avatar in my DMs if I got that wrong, because I don't like to misspread information. But from what I recall, I want to say that's correct. And honestly, like for someone who struggled with depression, I was a very angry, sad, miserable, depressed person. And that's not to talk shit to anyone who struggles with depression, but like, if you do, you know as well as I that when you're in that place, it's very hard to feel empathy. It's hard to take care of yourself. It's hard to love others because you don't love yourself, right? When I did a lot of mushrooms in the year of 2019, from let's say the beginning of the year where I had my mental breakdown, I had a nervous breakdown. I've shared about that before, and my anxiety was at an all-time high. And from the beginning of 2019 to December, I tripped a significant amount of times and unearthed a lot of trauma, a lot of sadness, a lot of abandonment and loss. And I met a lot of my pain and past memories with love and support and healing. Like, mushrooms allowed me to heal and make peace with a lot of the things in my life that made me feel less than, that made me feel like there was something wrong with me because of all the shit I went through. Also, too, like a side note, mushrooms connected me with like blue people, like extraterrestrial blue people who were really freaking nice and sweet and compassionate and were very loving towards me. Like, it was the first time I ever tripped, and I had a beautiful connection with these extraterrestrial beings. And I felt like that whole experience was so cosmic, too. I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but I'm like remembering as I'm relaying my experience. And the first time I tripped, I literally was laying on someone's leather couch for like, I think I was on this couch for like 5 hours, and all I was doing was listening, I want to say to, I want to say Yamna, but I know it's not Yamna because Yamna is a brand of cannabis that we sell at my work. Why am I drawing a blank? Yema, Yema. Oh my God, what am I doing? What am I doing here? Who am I? But Yema, right? YAIMA. And they make very ethereal music, very ethereal, spiritual, high vibrational, healing music. And I immersed myself in all of their whole discography. I played for 5 hours tripping on mushrooms with my eyes closed. I had an internal trip. Sometimes when you have medicinal mushrooms, again, the medicine's going to show you what it is you need. You can have external trips where, like when I was hiking that time, I feel very extroverted, very energized, and having an ex like an external trip. And also depending on the mushroom strain I think you get also plays a part into this too. And then some trips I have been internal, where in this instance, I meditated for 5 hours. I literally was laying on this couch and I had my period. It was like a whole thing. It was weird. Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, I'm laying on this couch. I'm doing Reiki. My eyes are closed and I'm having the most intense visuals, like cosmic, universe, space, motherfucking visions, guys. Like, it was so freaking cool. Like, it was a whole galaxy in my mind. And I was laying there and the blue people appeared. And they looked like your typical extraterrestrial, but like blue, like a midnight blue. And they basically were saying that my original soul is from that planet and that they've like always watched over me to make sure I've been okay, but that that's part of the reason why I'm so different and why I feel that I don't always belong in the communities I'm in and why I feel so separated from the rest because I'm innately different. It was like this whole thing, and I had flashbacks of like my childhood and like bullying that I went through, and I don't know, I felt very held and loved in that experience and allowed me to heal. And it was beautiful. So it's interesting to see what psilocybin can do in the environment that you're using it, the context, the intention. But yeah, I've had intense visuals internally and externally from mushrooms. And I don't know, I just feel that they cracked open my heart. I was such a bitter, resentful, grumpy person. Like, and as a child, I was so excitable. I was so happy. I was so expressive. I was so autistic. Like, let's just call it what it is, homies. Let's just call it what it is. Like, I was autistic as fuck in the sense of my personality and being, yeah, excitable, and being not innocent and naive, but imaginative and explorative and adventurous and carefree. And I know a lot of us can say, well, that's like any kid. But like, when you look at autistic children, they live in a fantasy realm that is all their own, and it's beautiful and it's healing and it's fun and it's safe. But then, as we try to connect with our peers and we get ostracized and bullied for being different, because unfortunately that is such a common thing for people on the spectrum to be picked out, because we're very sensitive creatures, and it's almost like survival of the fittest, right? Like, predators can sniff out sensitive prey. And I don't want to say that I'm prey, because like, I'm a boss ass bitch, and if I had to like beat your ass, I would. Not that I would ever want to do that, and violence is never the answer. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do feel that I have a very strong alpha presence sometimes. But when it comes to my sensitive, loving nature, I feel that that gives off its own aroma to like certain predators, maybe narcissists or whatever. And I don't know, like, I just feel very strongly that that experience explained spiritually to me why I've always felt different. And then obviously years later being diagnosed autistic, I'm like, well, that also makes sense. So whether or not I'm an alien or not, folks, I'm different, and that's okay. And I'm not always gonna jive with people, but mushrooms have helped me heal the parts of me that I felt were unlovable, and to return to the pieces of me that made me uniquely me to begin with in the first place. And I love my childlike nature. Like, when I'm really comfortable with somebody, especially a partner, yeah, I'm very childlike in nature, and I'm very excitable, and I'm very giggly, and I don't want to say baby voicey, but like, whatever, like, I'm just very childlike unapologetically, and I really like that about myself. And I don't show a lot of that side to people because, yeah, I just don't show that side a lot to other people, because obviously there is that fear of judgment. And I don't know, I like to come off like a boss bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to come off as someone who's like calm, cool, collected, mature, professional, strong, whatever label you want to put on it. Whereas like, the inside of me is like jumping up and down, flapping their hands, squealing, making noises, like giggling and talking to their stuffies and playing Animal Crossing. I don't know if I said that already, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like when I told that dude on that date that I told you guys about weeks ago, like how I describe myself as a full spectrum of a human. Not even just being on the spectrum, like being a full spectrum of a human. I can be big mama boss lady, and I can be big baby Jess. Facts, and mushrooms help me to return to big baby Jess. And big baby Jess loves to be loved and loves to be themselves, point blank. And so, although I may not do mushrooms to the extent that I did, 2019 was a hell of a year of drug use, of loss, of healing, maximum healing. Like, who I was at the beginning of 2019 to the end of 2019 was a completely different person. Completely different person. And I don't know if I would have gotten to where I'd gotten without using the drugs that I did. And I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, that I'm not proud of that time in my life. I'm not proud of the choices I made. However, a lot of those instances, especially using like more of the party drugs, like ecstasy, those drugs really helped me heal a lot of my inner hatred towards myself and other people, but mostly towards myself, which I had a lot of that. And, trigger warning for, suicide and unaliving yourself and all that jazz. There was a time in my life for quite a few years, like 2, 3 years, where I was severely depressed and attempted to unalive myself, wanted to unalive myself, had those thoughts very often, very intrusive thoughts like that. And so to be where I am now, so let's think, like that was almost 10 years ago. When I made that attempt, it was 10 years ago. I was 18. And I struggled with those urges and thoughts for, yeah, I would say at least like maybe even longer than that, if I'm being honest, like on and off for years. For the better majority of my early 20s, I struggled with that a lot. And now being almost 29, as some of you like to remind me, just kidding. But yeah, being almost 29 and being where I'm at now, although I'm not afraid to die, I'm not afraid of death. I mean, I guess we all are afraid in some sense, but like I know that there's more after this. Maybe not in this flesh suit, but my soul's gonna go somewhere else. You know, like the journey's always continuing is what I'm getting at. But now, even struggling with the losses I've endured over the last 3 years and the struggles I've had to face the last year, I feel like if all of these things happened to me 10 years ago, that would have been it for me. Whereas now, I feel very content with who I am. I feel very content with my life. Sure, there may be things I would want right now, but if I were to die right now, I would be happy. I would be proud of myself. I would be grateful for the loved ones in my life and for the time I've had here and for the job experience I've had being in cannabis, like all of those things. But I don't know. You know, like having done the drugs I've done, for some reason, now having had that experience, I don't struggle with those thoughts anymore. Very, very rarely do I ever even romanticize it as a way to escape my current mental anguish, not even wanting to physically do the act, but sometimes get lost in the thought, you know, like suicide ideation is a real thing. But even that, like, I haven't struggled with that in a very, very long time. And I do feel that I kind of did some work with the drugs, man. You know, like, I'm not trying to, like, toot my own horn because since then, I do feel different, even physically, too. Like, I definitely have, like, fucked with my brain chemistry a little bit and what have you. But yeah, I do think they kind of flipped me on my other half, like I did like a 180, you know, and granted, I still struggle with the things I struggle with. I'm not perfect, but that deep-rooted self-hatred for myself and the world, I do not have anymore. Sometimes I get pretty pissed at the world, though, I'm not gonna lie to you, but like that deeply rooted hatred that fueled these thoughts of wanting to unalive myself and to give up on life. I'm just not that person anymore. I'm a completely different person than who I was 10 years ago. And I'm sure all of us can say that, right? Like, we're not who we were 10 years ago. But the real truth is, friends, some people never change. Some people stay the same. Some people choose not to do that work. And I'm not saying you gotta do drugs to do the work. Therapy helps. Having a good, supportive community around you helps. Practicing self-awareness helps a lot. Right? But some people choose to never do the work. And although I took a fast track on doing the work and used tools that were harmful to my body, I am grateful for those experiences and I wouldn't change them for anything. I had a good fucking time, but sometimes I cried for hours and hours and hours and hours as I purged and purged and purged. And so, yeah, I am grateful for where and who I am today. And if you've ever thought about messing around with magic mushrooms, I highly recommend. I highly recommend do it in a safe environment. Do it maybe with a sitter. I've sat for people before and people have sat for me, and that's been really helpful. Definitely have someone sit with you who's not going to judge you or get weirded out by the things that may happen while you're on mushrooms, because weird shit does happen. Have some art supplies around, have some good music, some good ambient lighting. I don't really recommend watching TV or like using screens at all. I found that very stimulating and I wanted to throw up. But like meditation's good, dancing's good, painting's good. Listening to meditations are good. Or even like binaural beats, that's awesome. Or bilateral beats would be even better. If you're someone who struggles with like PTSD, BPD, things like that, the bilateral beats are going to be great. And ADHD, it really helps to calm the central nervous system. So bilateral beats would be great while tripping. But yeah, I don't know. I just felt really called to share that after having that remembrance in class today. And yeah, I just highly recommend even doing yoga while tripping is kind of nice too if you're doing a light trip, because if you're taking too much, you might get a little dizzy, a little nauseous. But if you're microdosing, I highly recommend. I've paired a microdose with some cacao and some like really beautiful music and just laid on my mat for a few hours and did some stretching, and that was really nice. And journaled and pulled tarot cards. So you could make it a whole ritual. You know, honor the plant, honor the medicine, and honor the journey that it's going to bestow upon you. But yeah, that's all I have for you folks. This is a very interesting, different type of episode talking about my experience with psilocybin, magic mushies. So yeah, I am tired. I'll be honest with you all. I have the next couple of days off, which I'm grateful for, and yeah, I'm just trying to find my footing. And again, that's been yoga for me, big time. If you're in the northern Massachusetts, southern New Hampshire, eastern border area, I know that's kind of a mouthful. I definitely recommend you checking out Joy Wellness in Salem, New Hampshire. It is a beautiful yoga studio with beautiful services such as Reiki and massage. I take all of my yoga classes there. Everyone there is lovely. Jennifer, the owner, is a beautiful, beautiful soul. And I definitely recommend following them on Instagram. I want to say it's Journey Om Yoga with some underscores. Like, I think it's Journey underscore Om underscore Yoga, I want to say. I hope I got that right. And one of the teachers, Carrie, listens to the podcast, so I'm sure Carrie will let me know if I got that wrong. I am so grateful for you, Carrie and Jennifer, if you're listening. Such a beautiful space, such lovely classes, very soulful, soulful studio. I've been to some yoga classes and studios that are just so bad. Just so much cultural appropriation and so much misuse and mislabeling of like what yoga is. I remember I went to a power yoga class. Oh God, even remembering this makes me mad. And I walk in, and at this point I'd been practicing for 2 years consistently. Like, I've been practicing for almost 10 now, but consistently, I started my practice at that time. It had been like 2 years. And I go in and I go in the back, and there's a girl next to me who's brand new. And I overheard her telling the teacher that she was brand new to yoga, period. Like, they gave her a rental mat and she was slipping and sliding all over it because it was a hot yoga class, a power class. And they start playing like 80s rock mixed with like 90s country music, and then like Christina Aguilera from like early 2000s. And I just was like, the fuck is this? What the actual flying fuck is this? And then they were having us do advanced poses such as crow. And if you're a yogi listening to this, then you know that's quite a difficult pose. And mind you, with no instruction, no guidance, no setup, no modifications, just all right, and take your crow whenever you're ready. And so luckily I know how to do that pose, and at the time, not now. And I look over, and this girl's just looking around, trying to figure out how to get into this posture, and definitely could have injured herself. And that was like the whole class. There were multiple times where we were guided into intermediate to advanced poses with little to no proper instruction or setup or modifications for anyone else. And I left them a nasty review. I'm gonna be so real with you because that wasn't the first class that I'd been to that I'd witnessed that. I gave them a shot. I had one of their trials. I think it was 2 weeks. And yeah, it was just very cringe. Like, it didn't honor the philosophies and teachings of yoga. It just was like, okay, this is a workout, and this is what's hip and cool now, and we have Reiki, and we do yoga to like Jason Aldean, and it's like, bro, no. And maybe I'm wrong for being judgmental right now, and I'm not. I was gonna say I'm not trying to be. No, I am. I'm full out judging. I'm full out judging this yoga studio, y'all, because I was just pissed. Because how they were advertising things, talking about things, it just felt so disingenuous or disingenuine. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't sound or feel good to me. I didn't feel comfy. Whereas when I walk into Joy and I listen to Carrie and Jennifer and I really allow my body to respond to the teachings and to the postures. Everything feels so fluid and feels so nourishing for all aspects of my being. Yoga is not just a workout. Although, in the beginning of my life with yoga, I definitely saw it that way. Whereas the last, I would say, 5 years of practicing, I've really started to see it as a healing, cleansing, spiritual practice because that's what it is. You're connecting breath to movement. It's a moving meditation. At least that's how I connect to yoga, right? And that's how many other people see yoga as a moving meditation. And if you're thinking of your chakras, right, your energy centers down your body, we have so many of them, but there's seven main ones, right? The root, the sacral, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat, third eye and crown. And when we do certain postures and connect them together, we allow the breath, the chi, the prana, and the energy to move through all of those energy centers. These energy centers correlate to different organs and systems in the body. So we're helping to cleanse and purify not just our mind, our body, our chi, but also like our organs and our immune system and lymphatic system and all the systems, the nervous system. It's incredible. And that's why I continue to go to yoga. That's why lately I've been amping up my yoga game because I need it right now. It's my lifeline. Joy has been like a safe place for me. And I highly recommend it. Jennifer's doing a great special right now. $27 a month for unlimited yoga. Like, what? Like, unlimited yoga usually costs like $100 to $150 a month. Let that sink in, okay? Jennifer is only charging $27. So if you lock in that price with her next month, there will be added things to the membership besides unlimited yoga, like an infrared sauna and a Himalayan salt room, a meditation room, a holistic library. And as a member, you get 10% off of services like Reiki and massage. So y'all run, don't walk, to get your $27 a month unlimited yoga membership at Joy Wellness in Salem, New Hampshire. So there's my ad for Joy tonight. I seriously just love that place so much. It makes me feel so safe and so just well taken care of. So, like I said, run, don't walk. But yeah, that's my yoga rant for the end of this episode. If you stuck it out this long, I love you. I'm proud of you. And I'm grateful for you, and I hope that you know I'm thinking about you and I'm holding space for you. And I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode, which I always look forward to. Sending you all the love in the world, my friend.